do this.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, digital storytelling is a short form of digital media production that allows everyday people to create and share their stories online. The method is frequently used in schools, in museums, libraries, social work, and health settings, as well as in communities as well. Now, our guest today has used YouTube as a tool for storytelling and is going to be sharing his journey with us, as well as how social media can be used to make an impact, including sharing the gospel. If you do want to go to his YouTube channel, you might just want to write this one down. It's called Shared Moments with Justus. Shared Moments with Justus. That's found on YouTube. Just a little bit about him. He is a journalist, a digital content creator, passionate about Africa, and keen on telling Africa's stories from an African perspective. He's got over 15 years of experience in the television and digital communication space. Currently works as a TV producer for Hope Channel Africa Network. Now, Justus is the founder and the host of a popular online series, Shared Moments with Justus, as I've just alluded to, yes, on YouTube, so you can go there. A safe space for people to candidly share personal experiences and inspire the world through storytelling. Shared Moments with Justus has over 100,000 subscribers. That's massive. That's really massive. He's also the winner of the 2022 YouTube Globally Influential Award and a member of the YouTube Black Voices Fan Class of 2022. His goal is to leverage his influence and network to address social ills by advocating for equity. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you today?
I'm well and very excited. I'm looking forward to this conversation. So glad to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We are also really excited to be here. Let me just confirm with you, in South Africa, where we're broadcasting from, the time is 19:16 in the evening. What time is it there in Kenya?
We're just 1 hour ahead, so we're at 2016.
Ah, just 1 hour ahead. Okay, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. After reading such a bio, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, where do I even start? Where do I even begin? But I'm sure you do get this question where people say, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And I think that's where I'm also going to start. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe... How did your YouTube content creation journey begin? 100,000 followers, subscribers, that's not child's play. Where did it start and who are you?
Yeah. Well, let me first start by saying that I didn't know that I would find myself in this space 2 years, you know, about 2 years down the line,
sure.
Because it was never my intention to be on YouTube to begin with. And so my background is in journalism because I'm a trained journalist.
Yeah.
And for the past, 15 or so years, I have actively been involved in TV production as well as radio. But one thing for sure that was always an issue for me was storytelling, which I was very particular about. And so I was scared by how storytelling was being handled, especially in the mainstream media. And I felt there was a gap in allowing people to tell authentic stories that were not influenced by advertisers and, you know, other, you know, ideologies. And so when I began, it was basically to try and create an alternative space that would allow people to tell their stories uninterrupted in a way that would speak to a common person. Let me just take you a little back. In 10. Mm. I was very involved in what you would call here prison ministry.
Okay.
We used to visit prisons and just document stories of inmates.
Mm.
And this particular time, I went to one of the women's prisons here and compiled quite some stories from the women.
Mm.
I posted that story back then on the YouTube page for the house I used to work for.
Mm.
This was 2010. Then in 2019, fast forward, a lady looks for me and she introduces herself as one of the ladies I had interviewed back in 2019, and she was so grateful that I did her story.
Okay.
This is what triggered my interest to be able to now say, perhaps this is a space or something I should be able to follow up. And I asked her if I could be able to do a follow-up story just to, you know, inform the audience what had happened. And she agreed to it.
Mm.
So that was the first story I ever did now for my channel.
Mm.
But I didn't have a channel at the time.
Mm.
But after doing that one story, I ended up now doing more because it was more of you know, a free fall of some sort.
Mm.
So I found myself doing two, three stories. And that is how the idea of now putting them on YouTube came about.
Mm.
And that is how the journey began. Towards the end of 2019, beginning of 2020.
That's very interesting because I'm just here on YouTube, and as I type shared moments with your name comes up. I'm like, okay, that's the first thing that comes up, which for me is really interesting because then it means your channel is that popular that when someone just starts by, you know, typing that in on YouTube, it comes up. Now, you say you didn't want or you didn't anticipate that you'd be here today, especially from a YouTube channel growth point of view. And telling authentic African
yes.
stories was what you wanted to achieve at the end of the day. Would you say that has somehow changed yes. your life? I know you're a journalist and all that, but how has that changed your life?
Oh, man, I don't even have enough words to really explain to you how my life has been transformed as a result of being in this particular space.
Mm.
At first, I thought I was going to change other people's lives, but I think mine has been changed the most because this has exposed me to conversations that have impacted me firsthand.
Mm.
When I listen to stories, and they are diverse, when I listen to people who have gone through different challenges and how God has been able to help them through, it just makes me feel like, you know, it's a privilege for me to be even where I am today. So by extension, I think I have been more than nourished by just being exposed to these experiences from other people who, when you listen to their stories, you just want to thank God for the life that you have and for everything that, you know, perhaps you've been taking for granted. Above that, I think through this particular platform, I have, you know, by extension, created safe spaces for people to be vulnerable about things and to express freely and to talk about challenges that otherwise was very difficult for them to open up about. And this has, you know, when I hear comments such that, you know, when people say that I feel, especially from the audience, when someone responds and says, I feel like finally my voice has been heard, that particular story you have aired has resonated with my story that I have never shared. You know, I feel validated. For me, that itself is beyond any monetary value that comes, you know, with that, these kind of things.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
My life has been, you know, really impacted. Yeah.
Sure. That's really beautiful. Now, let's talk about shared moments then. How have you managed, I mean, if you're not necessarily giving us your IP or the mechanics or whatever, but how have you then managed to create that safe space for people, I suppose, to share their deep personal and sometimes horrific and harrowing stories? I'm sure it's not easy to get them to that level.
One thing for sure that has helped me along the way is I'm a people's person. And beyond just the, you know, online platform, I connect easily with people, even physically. So that has helped me quite a bit, in the sense that as long as you give me an audience, I can convince you to share about anything, you know, as personal as it can get.
Yeah.
But I think also, at first, it was not very easy because it's not something people had been used to sharing their, you know, very personal, deep things of life. And so, but when we did that consistently, the first person, second person, people started, we began to normalize it.
Yeah.
And it was not very difficult because initially I could reach out to people. Some would turn me down because they didn't really understand where I was coming from.
Yeah.
But over time, I'm now not even looking for people, but people are reaching out to say, I think my experience will bless someone else. You know, would you consider sharing my story on your platform? So that is where we are now. But initially, of course, there was that resistance kind of because people didn't really understand the relevance and how important this thing would really turn out to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, going back then to that very, very first story and maybe thinking about how this thing would turn out to be where it is right now. Besides also the fact that you didn't think you'd be where you are today, that very, very first story, how has that almost, I suppose, started conversations and almost gave your channel a different approach, direction, perhaps, in relation to what you thought the channel would be?
Let me just give you an illustration or an example that perhaps who can speak to this particular question.
Yeah.
I've made it mandatory every year, at the end of every year, I bring together all these people who come through this platform in a physical gathering where we are able now to connect. So we have kind of created a community.
Okay.
Offline.
Yeah.
Not just online.
Yeah.
So there's a virtual community, yes, but I have also empowered this particular community offline so that beyond the sharing, everyone can be able to connect with their own within their own context and community. So the work has extended beyond just, you know, being present online. And it's now, you know, impacting villages, impacting cities and, you know, people in their own, you know, spaces that I wouldn't otherwise be able to reach myself. The other thing is I have shared stories that needed response in terms of perhaps, for instance, the story that I shared and someone is in need, I have had people come through for others. So we have seen change in terms of attitudes, change in terms of people just being more empathetic, you know. And one particular story where this lady who shared her story and she didn't even have a place to call home. After sharing that story, this lady, you know, through our audience was able, someone donated a piece of land, not one, two pieces of land from different people. She got someone to come through for her and built a house for her, you know. So those are some of the things that, you know, have been a ripple, more of a ripple effect of what just began as normal conversations. But we have also been able to attract other partners and people who, you know, I feel that whatever we are doing adds value to our society. For instance, we have a partnership with the Kenya Human Rights Commission, which is a non-governmental organization that is responsible for, you know, human rights in the country. And together we are rolling out programs that are meant to transform lives and to safeguard even the very rights that, you know, more often than not are abused.
Sure. I'm sure it has been quite a journey getting it to where you are. Before we even talk about storytelling now, I wanted us to just touch a little bit on the awards that you got. I mean, the 2022 YouTube Globally Influential Award and being the member of the YouTube Black Voices Fund. That bit, how has that helped you? But also, how has that helped to, I suppose, you know, catapult your YouTube channel as well?
One thing for sure, when you talk about YouTube, even to anyone, the first thing someone would ask you is, are you making anything from it? How much are you making? And that kind of thing. So people are excited about the money. And like I said, when I was starting, that was not even in my mind.
Yes.
So I was, you know, ignorant of many things. And at the end of the first year is when this opportunity to be part of the YouTube Black Voices came about.
Yeah.
This is a program that YouTube was, you know, rolling out in Africa, targeting African creators. It was, you know, meant to help us, you know, be able to learn a few things that would help us improve our craft. And so I was fortunate to be part of the that particular class of 2022. We were only four Kenyans, I think. South Africa was part of the participants. We had 10 people or 11 thereabout.
Yeah.
And Nigeria. So we went through a whole year of training, exposure, and networking that helped me to stop just looking at YouTube as a platform of sharing content and information, but as a business. So it opened my eyes to the opportunities around YouTube as a platform for me to create a business model that would help me, would be self-sustaining, so that because it takes a lot of resources to do some of these stories. So in that sense, that particular program exposed me and helped me to, you know, be able to customize my approaches so that this is more of a business model at the same time.
The other,
I think it was as a result of that particular exposure that I was even considered for the other award of the YouTube Globally Influential Award. And this was more to do with the kind of stories that I was doing. The stories that they felt were, you know, influencing the world positively, which for me also came as a shocker because I didn't think, you know, I was doing much, but I was told it was much enough to be recognized. And I think for me it was more of a validation because sometimes we second guess and we doubt ourselves.
Yes.
You don't even know who is listening to you. Sometimes it feels like you're talking to yourself.
Yes.
And so when someone else is able to recognize the effort that you're putting in, it validates and it keeps us going. For me, it has really helped me to saying that I think I'm in the right place.
And in the right direction. Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. I think may God continue to bless you, because I think it's, you know, showing that giving your effort and giving it your all, and the Lord working with you certainly can push such strides that would look back at and say, yeah, definitely. Now, coming then to storytelling, platforms like YouTube, I suppose, and other social media platforms generally, how would you, especially as a journalist, and I understand that journalists are storytellers as well, how have these platforms helped with storytelling?
One thing for sure, because let me speak from inside, as an insider, because as part of the church as well. I think the church has a role in terms of impacting the communities within which we operate or exist.
Yeah.
And this impact, there's no better way to impact people than through sharing of experiences and what we would call in our own context, testimonies. Testimonies of what God has been able to do in our lives. By so doing, it will become very easy to attract other people didn't know that much about this particular God that we serve.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the church is not doing much in that regard.
Mm.
And so what these social media spaces have created is to reduce the responsibility from a corporate level into an individual level, such that each and every one of us now has an opportunity, a direct access to do that which you are leaving to a community or a church to do, which you are thinking it's a corporate responsibility. Now, no one has an excuse. You have in your phone, in your... So I think storytelling for me is the way to go. And, you know, you don't have to have 100,000 people listening to you for you to say anything. If you say it and you say it well enough and one person, you know, is convicted or, you know, is impacted by it, that one person is one too many. And so we don't have necessarily to look at the scale in terms of numbers, but our impact should be targeted to just one person. So that is the place of storytelling, and it goes a long way. It's preaching is not necessarily just opening up the pages of the Bible and sharing the word, much as that is very important. It is more about sharing our lived experiences and just, you know, talking about that which we have seen God do in us and through us.
Now, I want us to explore that a little bit, and that's going to be my next question to say, you know, there's ways, and maybe you can then advise us in terms of the church. What are those ways? But before we get into that one, you know, I'm thinking back of the time when we had COVID, and I know that a lot of countries had these so-called lockdowns where people were staying at home and you know, couldn't go out and meet with their friends. And I suppose YouTube channels and social media platforms then became almost the most important single thing that people do every single day, and they would follow people and stories and whatever the case might be. We've seen, for instance, in areas where the television program could broadcast from home, the presenter could do that, you know, so we've seen some of those. But we've seen the church as well almost coming into this space. But like I'm saying, I want us to, for you to give us maybe one or two practical ways in which the church can do that. But before we get into that one, during the time of COVID, how did you see the storytelling bit, especially through YouTube and other social media platforms, in, I suppose, circumventing depression, you know, people being locked down in their house and couldn't move, and so social media became the thing that they follow?
We are social beings, for sure, and we cannot underplay or, you know, the effects that came with the lockdown, you know, and COVID-19, because it reduced us to, you know, very not so social people, you know, caged us in some spaces that were not familiar to all of us, and so we had to somehow, you know, train ourselves not to talk to the next person, not to see the next, you know, normalize being by yourself. And this had really, honestly, it had a huge impact in terms of our mental, you know, state. And a lot of people were affected mentally just by virtue that, you know, our lifestyles have changed and we were not social as we thought we were or we would be.
Yeah.
And so this internet space then I think really helped in trying to deflect that pressure from people, because that is about the same time when now everyone realized the importance of being online. I remember in our churches here in Kenya, I don't know about South Africa, but here before COVID-19, and I think this is also one of the positives that came with COVID, our churches were very unreceptive when it comes to, you know, the use of technology, internet and social media in the church space. Those were times when, you know, you get into any church, the first thing you read is, please switch off your phone, you know, because the phone didn't have a place in the church. And as Adventists especially, no one would imagine himself watching church service, you know, virtually, or following up, following church service virtually, and, you know, and not attending church physically. So all that changed with the dynamics that came with COVID-19. And so I think the internet, specifically YouTube, played a huge role, much as there's, you know, every sort of content on these particular platforms, but I think there was equally enough voice of reason and people who provided these alternative spaces for people to vent and talk about life and their frustrations. All that helped to balance our mental, you know, strength and the challenges that came around that time.
Sure. I must tell you, I was, of course, one of those that, you know, when you are locked down at home, you are a free-spirited person. You always want to go out and all that. The, you know, social media played that very important role where, you know, we would be, you know, following things and church and all that during social media. So I think you're quite right in that as well, which then brings me there to how do you break it down? Because often at times, if you look at most church platforms that we have, which are meant to be, you know, those platforms that we use to actually, you know, impact the whole world and kind of share the stories of our Lord to the rest of the world. But often at times, these channels and even these live sessions and what are often frequented by us church people, right? Maybe particularly because I belong to this church in this area, and if this church has a YouTube channel, so that's where I'm going to be. Or if I want to change, I go to another church as well, which has a YouTube or social media page. You know? And it's almost like we frequent all these church platforms because we are church people. And it's almost like we're preaching to the converted, or we're preaching to the choir here, helping the choir sing the same songs that we all know that they are singing. Practically, as someone who is clearly an expert in this particular field and is a storyteller as well, how can we reach those people who otherwise would not know about the, you know, the message that we carry if and unless we use these particular channels? How do we do that?
I think as a church, we need to be very intentional and consistent about, you know, what we want to achieve. Sometimes I think we are all over the place, for lack of a better word, and hoping that in our confusion, God will somehow perform miracles and make things work. If you are in the technology space, if you are in the TV space, if you're in the online space, there are guidelines that govern how things operate in that particular world. And you cannot ignore and just hope that the Holy Spirit will somehow, you know, work out, work things around regardless of your ignorance. So research, we don't want to look beyond the spiritual, you know, push when we are getting ourselves into this spaces. We assume that simply because we are a church, anything we begin will somehow, you know, just work by itself. It is not true. We have to deliberately learn if we want to survive in the online space. What are the best practices or practical ways within which then we shall, our impact will be felt the more. That's number one. And The thing is, we have to share content that people will resonate with. One of the things that perhaps has propelled my platform or made it more, you know, appealing to the public is because people are able to relate with this content, whether they are churchgoers, non-Christians, they are able to connect. But when we are only sharing content in our own context and language and jargon, such that it's as if we are speaking to ourselves. Anyone outside of our circles cannot even understand what we are talking about. And that is what we are streaming online. We have taken the pulpit as it is and just placed it in the marketplace without giving context. So we, inside the church, we, at, you know, for the better part, we are talking to Adventists or Christians. So when we get out of the church, this is a totally different audience with different needs. So we have to understand the needs are different and package our message with those needs in mind. If that means that we have to even change the format of our sermons, the format of our worship program, if it calls for that, then we ought to do that. And then we it's not just enough for us to share sermons on Sabbath, for example. If you're going into an online space, you have to know that this has to be a consistent engagement. It is no longer a Sabbath program, but it has to be a daily program. So we have to come up with a program that will be able to feed this audience every day. They don't have to sit and wait for Sabbath, which, you know, was ideally what we used to do. But now they are hungry for content. They are hungry for these messages. So we have to package, we have to repackage our content, number one, to address the needs. And most importantly, once we have identified and that we start addressing those needs, we have we become consistent about it. And then there's the aspect of feedback. Feedback will help us to know if we are doing the right thing or what the people who we are trying to reach out to, you know, feel. Because once I realize that you are listening to me or my opinion is being considered, then you have my attention. Anything else you say, you can be sure I'll listen to it. So I think, by and large, we have to be practical about things and intentional in the sense that if we want to compete, to be competitive in the online space, we are not competing against another church because we are looking for people who have what church would add, what value church would add to them. We are competing with other content creators who are providing entertainment and all those kind of things. What would, so what the question is, what would make someone to stop watching what they have been watching online as entertainment and start watching my content or the content from this particular channel? It cannot be transformed. We cannot transform that space into another pulpit, but we have to address specific needs, which people then would be able to say, I think you're talking to me and I need to listen.
So often then the competition that you are referring to, it almost sounds like it's unintended, but almost happens most of the time. How do we even deal with that? Do we need to get all the churches maybe to come together and we have one massive platform instead of a decentralized way in which we are currently doing it in silos? You know, you find that one particular church has a very good, you know, equipment and systems. They're able to broadcast with the highest quality and thus would attract more people. Whereas there's another one that's somewhere in the rural area that's using a phone, for instance, and is trying to broadcast live on a phone, but the quality isn't really that good. So do you think maybe there's synergies that we need to build? Or how do we even start working at that? Because I think it's unintended, but in that, it also leads to where you see certain platforms almost, you know, catching more attention than others.
There's a place for synergy and convergence, that's for sure. But in this regard, I think it is not necessarily important or necessary. All these outfits and form or merge them into one. Reason being, the audience is also, the audience needs are also very dynamic, even within the same locality. You'll find that this particular church that perhaps is broadcasting in not very good quality. There's one something other than the broadcast quality that an audience or someone particular program. So they are able to overlook everything else.
Okay.
And just to tune in and to listen to that.
Yeah.
So you'll find that each platform will be unique in its own way and will attract very unique, you know, kind of audiences that if you collapse them into one, you lose out somehow. So the idea is to be, to provide alternatives and to be in every space possible.
Okay.
So that if I'm moving here, if I move here, I'm finding, you know, there's an alternative space, there's an alternative, you know, platform here that would be able to meet the same needs. But again, it's also important for us to now see if there's an opportunity for us to even improve, or, you know, have trainings and empower even our local churches so that they can do this thing more professionally, because we are competing with people who are very professional in their own craft. Then that will also help. But let's empower these, you know, smaller outfits so that, because they are the ones who will speak to the local need more than we can do when everything is done at the top.
Makes sense. I'm with you on that one. As we wrap up, my last question would then be, I know you're currently the producer there for Hope Channel Africa Network. How is that one coming along? And which show can people, you know, get the work that you're doing at?
Well, I have been working for the church for the better part, I think, since 2010.
Yeah.
Don't guess my age. I'm not very old. But it's always been, you know, fulfilling.
Yes.
Knowing that, you know, whatever you're doing is having an impact on people's, you know, life, spiritual journey, and that kind of thing. So right now, as a producer within East Central Africa, we have quite a number of programs that I would want people to look out for. But of course, one of the most watched programs here is what we're calling Women Engage.
Okay.
And these are conversations that women have, you know, that affect women. And it's quite been a very interesting one because we went out of, you know, the norm and encouraged people to talk about things, to open up and share that which perhaps was conventionally not possible to share in the church setup.
Yeah.
And it has opened up, you know, the spaces where people are now more real, because when people are real, then even the energy changes. And the approach changes. So it has informed a lot of things. Right now I'm working on, because there has been a need now to allow men to also speak.
Yes.
I'm working on a men's talk show which is coming soon.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's titled Unmasking the Man.
Hey, okay.
Unmasking the Man. And this is aimed, aimed at, you know, revealing the true identity of a godly man, because we have adopted and acquired a lot of identities as men, and such that our true identity has been lost. So we have to unmask all these things that have been put to identify a man in, for us to reveal that true character and identity that God intended. So that's what I'm working on, and it's coming soon. But we have very good programming, and I'm sure SID Media has also been very instrumental, especially in, you know, coming up with content that is targeted to help, you know, the people of God, you know, to just be the best that they can be as we serve Him and await for His second coming.
Indeed. Any last words to our listeners? Particularly, I'm thinking of young people here that also want to have YouTube channels and kind of have the influence that you're having, which I think the more the merrier, which is great. You know, any last thoughts, advice as we end it here?
Let me just first thank you so much for even considering to host me tonight and for me to share my journey with your audience. It's a privilege, and I'm really honored and grateful for. And just to say that God can be able, God is able, not can be able, but rather God is able to turn anything that you give him, you know, as a gift into something that is beyond what you even envisioned. And so it doesn't have to be through YouTube. It doesn't have to be through any online space.
Yeah.
But your influence is around you. All of us have someone who believes in us, who, you know, listens and hopes that we guide and give them direction in life. And so that is, everyone is an influencer. That is what I'm trying to say.
That's good.
Everyone is an influencer. And so we have a responsibility to guide, to utilize that influence for the good and to help people grow and become better. So if you're planning on starting a YouTube channel, I think the intention is far much more important than the process itself. If you want to do, to reach out to people, if you want to impact people, pray about it, but most importantly, be intentional and learn the industry, what other people are doing, so that you're not just second guessing and doing things, you know, randomly. What I've come to appreciate is that our God is, you know, very passionate in the manner in which he does his things, and very articulate, very meticulous, very, you know, look at the creation story. There's no chance. Everything is, you know, and so if you find yourself in any space where you can be able to do something that would add value to this ministry, please just give it your all. And there's no space for mediocrity.
There's no space.
Give it your all.
Yeah.
And be the best you can be.
Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time. And certainly we shall connect with you once again in the future. But thank you for taking the time this evening.
Thank you so much. And I hope to see your viewers as well on the platform on YouTube, Shared Moments with Justice, as we engage more.
Definitely. I've just subscribed.
So
there I go. Just followed you as well. Thank you so much. Have a good one. All right. That was a beautiful conversation that we're having there with Justice, talking to us about how social media can be used as a way to tell stories, but also help us to get closer to God.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.